Okay, it's a great pleasure and very special thing to be here with you in this series, which is, as I understand, about the Ulam Mashiach. And so when discussing what the topic should be, I suggested Avodas HaTfilah Kahachona LeGeula UMashiach. So let's try to understand this and this approach to the Inyan. Now there's a Vort which at the time was said by a friend of ours, and Rabbi Gordon was at that time very taken by this Vort as well. It was in Topshin Nun Beis, and the Rebbe had just had the stroke, and a couple of days later I was in this district, Narada, and I was meeting someone, met someone, it was a simcha of some kind, of a mitzvah, and I met someone there, and they said, "How's the Rebbe?" So I said, "The Rebbe's going through a transformation, spiritual, mystical transformation." So the person speaking to me, a psychotherapist, said, "The Rebbe's going through a transformation. The Hasidim have to go through a transformation." And of course, that was, that's always been the Vort, that the Hasidim have to change. The Hasidim have to be different. And I remember among various people at that time, you know, what kind of shinuyin can one make in oneself? I remember there was one hachlata, not to have any arguments with anyone going on in my head. You know, like there's certain people you have some kind of running machlokas with them, you know, so the hachlata, not to have these cerebral arguments going on. You know, as soon as the argument begins, they stop, no, must not. I don't know how long that lasted. For a while it was certainly a good hachlata. The question is, did it have a kiyum? Now, another idea, another concept of to change inside oneself in some way was as a hachana for Mashiach. And that was very much the feeling, and is the feeling, that that is the avoda of a chosid today, lehochin atzmoi, v'chol ha'olam kuloi, for geula Mashiach, that one aspect of this is avodas hatfilah. Avodas hatfilah, we're surrounded here in this room to a certain extent, and other rooms in the library even more. With Svarim, where Avodas HaTfilah, or some aspect of davening, and that the Avodah of davening is very much the theme, or it's between the lines of Sifrei Chassidus, and especially Sifrei Chassidus Chabad. In fact, I can't remember the exact date, maybe it was Nun Gimel, something like that, Kahos published an English translation of Kuntras HaTfilah by the Rebbe Rashab. And I think it's called Tract on Prayer. And I think someone called Rabbi Danziger from Toronto, some of you may know him, he translated it. And I seem to remember trying to ask, I think I asked him, I spoke to him on the phone, I think, or maybe I asked someone in Kahos, you know, was this part of the push towards Hachonah for Mashiach, for Geula Mashiach? No, well, it wasn't clear. Rabbi Danziger said, "Well, no, it just came up that you should translate it." So, but it was Hashkocha Prophets. That Sefer came out at that time. I thought that was a very suitable thing. Now, I assume you're conversant with Kuntras HaTfilah. It's not very long. And much of it is actually warning against opnaren sich, killing oneself in davening. And here we come to what I would call the problem of Avodah Satfila. There's a problem about Avodah Satfila, and let me try to illustrate this problem with a little account of something that happened. There was a conference here in London in the university where I was supposed to give a talk. Many people came from different places to give talks about Hasidus, in all Hasidus HaKlalis, this Hasidus, that Hasidus. And I decided to give a talk about a certain inyan, about Avodas HaTfilah in the time of the Mittler Rebbe. So I gave my drasha, you know, you talk for 20 minutes, that's the way it works, and then people ask questions. So I spoke about Avodas HaTfilah in the time of the Mittler Rebbe, something to do with the difference between Sfarim like Shah HaYichud, which take you in a long, 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 deep exploration from the very highest levels of Elokus right down to the lowest levels of Olam Hazeh, and to see the Hiskalulus, the way that everything is integrated together in the most amazing way, and you could spend hours and hours thinking through that. And then there was a letter that the Mittler Rebbe wrote around 1823, telling the Hasidim that they've got to change their style of davening because people are just spending hours and hours in Hispoinanus. When it comes to actually davening, they chap very quickly the actual davening. And he said, better to do Hispoinanus relating to the actual davening, like in the Siddur Imdach. The Siddur with Hasidus, the Alter Rebbe Siddur, which the Mittler Rebbe actually edited and published, where you've got Hasidus which relates with Ashrei, it's talking about Ashrei, and so on. So the Hasidus relates to the actual davening. Incidentally, relates closely to the Kavonas HaRizal as well, in an interesting way. Like each one, each section, it sort of starts off what's the Kavona of the Kavonas HaRizal, and then it gives a whole beer of Hasidus Chabad explaining it. So it was like a drosha. Yeah, it was an academic talk. But sitting at this talk, there was a professor from the Sorbonne. And so at the end of the talk, like they have questions. You know, you speak for 20 minutes and there's 5-10 minutes questions. So the first question was from this professor from the Sorbonne. He said, and today, Zulubavitch, do they do the Avodat HaTfilah? I said, of course. Well, I should let the side down. So, anyway, a year or two later, he writes to me, the same professor. He said he's making a conference in the Sorbonne, and he would like me to give a talk on Avodat HaTfilah in Lubavitch in the 20th century. So I immediately thought, wonderful, there's the Rebbe Rashab, Kunshas HaTfilah, Kunshas HaVoidah, there's Ma'amorim, you know, Samachov, Ayin Beis, da-da-da. Then you got the Friedige Rebbe, very Avodadik Ma'amorim, yeah, no problem. Okay? So I began preparing this talk, and looking at different things, presenting this, presenting that. See, the 20th century, that's very easy. You've got the establishment of Tanya Chetmimim. I interviewed Eltere Yidden, Reb Yankel Gukov, I remember, the Chron Lebracha. I interviewed him. He remembered being, he had been it wasn't actually Lubavitch, but he'd been in the Tom Chetzmim Yeshiva in Russia, and he remembered how he remembered a certain bocher who would daven for 2 hours like a stick. That's how he puts it. He would daven standing by the wall like a stick for 2 hours, and I think that was Reb Nissen. That was Reb Nissen aus Bach. Reb Nissen from the later Paris, from Brumma, when he was a Bach. That's how he would dub. So, anyway, so there was a lot of chaymer, but I basically had enough material to give a talk for 20 minutes. And then I began thinking, you know, I'll just check if the Rebbe says anything about it. I mean, you know, the normal standards, Likutei Sichas, Avodas HaTfila may be mentioned, you know, but it's not like there are Sichas giving Hadrocha and Avodas HaTfila. So, well, I'll check. What should I check? I'll check the Mafteichos of the Igros. At that time, they didn't have the Igros on digital CD the way they have now. You want to look at any subject, you just put in the Kahos CD and, you know, you put Avodas HaTfila, you know, these two words within any 10 words or something. So it was using the Mafteach, and I think I looked under the Erech in Chelet Kof. I looked under the Erech Tfila, and I was amazed at a whole long list of things, and I began looking up what those Igros were. Fascinating. People getting Hadrocha from the Rebbe about davening ba'avoida, which I must say, you know, like it was unexpected. I didn't expect it. There was one person who wrote to the Rebbe, he tries to daven ba'avoida, but he gets a headache. What should he do? Then there was Rabbi Dubov, Zechreinu Levracha, the grandfather, the Zayda of Nissen David over here. So Rabbi Dubov is in Manchester, and he's working in a shul, and he's the Baal Koyre. And he writes to the Rebbe, he's like Seder Hayoim on Shabbos, how he has to be in the shul, and he has to do this, he has to do that, he has to lain, and then finally everyone goes home, and then he learns a maimah, and then he starts davening. So he starts davening 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Rebbe writes back, is Nishta Seder on, you know, like every single Shabbos to begin davening 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when all the things that have been before, you know, the Kriya Sater and so, which he was the, how exactly, what he sorted out, I don't know. Then there was a lovely letter, also from Manchester, from the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. It was to the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, but the point is the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva had written a letter of complaint about the Lubavitcher Bokharim, like Baruch Fulopath, who were then in the Manchester Yeshiva. In those years, it was very difficult to travel, and people went to that yeshiva. So the Shem Tov, Baruch Fulopath, various other Bokharim were there in the Manchester Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva was very Erech Hayid, a Musa person, Rabbi Siegel. And he was a bit disturbed at these Lubavitcher Bokharim davening very long. Apparently, if they davened so long, he would expect them to have various other tchunois. Not quite sure what it was that he would have expected them to have, but they didn't have. But he thought it didn't fit their personalities exactly. You know, maybe they were Leibediger Bokharim, but when it came to davening, they would daven. So he wrote a letter complaining to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe wrote back, defending the Bokharim. And he said, you know, I take the point that you say that they are a bit inconsistent, and they should be better in this, better in that, but in our time, when there are many different winds which are blowing in the streets, if someone puts an effort into davening, it's something to be encouraged. That's how the Rebbe wrote it. An old chassid from Russia told me once, in Lubavitch, like the time, 1906, 1907, those years, Samachvov, he said everyone was deeply into something. Some people were communist, some people were Zionist. Some people were this, some people were that. You had to be totally involved in something. So in Chabad, you're totally involved in davening, and in Chassidus. So the idea of the intensity. Now, it's an interesting question. Why I had the sort of assumption that Avodas HaTfila is a rare thing today, and so I almost didn't expect to see anything about it in the Rebbe's letters, but in fact there was quite a lot of material and very valuable. And I think that there are two reasons. One is a simplistic reason, which is in itself a problem, but there's also a deeper reason. The simple reason is Mashbiim who are Anovim. Yosva Anovim, a Mashvia who has seen people like the Mendel Fulafas, the Nisser, different people, Yisrael Noya, you know, let's see, whether it's France or Russia, whether it is, person who had seen such Mashvim, Davin. He thinks to himself, how on earth am I going to tell Bochrim anything about that? I know that those people were emes, the people, you cut their veins, you get chassidus. They weren't shyer to the things that Noshim came. So the Mashvir is an honor, so he gives over what he feels is on his level. You know, in Tanya, in Perik Yud Gimel, First Chelik of Tanya, it talks about how there is the different madregas, and you have to get to the middle of your madrega. When you're at the middle of your madrega, then you're connected above and below. Some people make a contrast between that and Mesilas Yesharim, that by Ramchal, that you're always trying to climb to a higher madrega. You know, so in the Baruch, you're trying to be a chosid. You're not trying to be a tzaddik, you're trying to be a chosid. What is a chosid? He knows who he is, and he knows who he isn't. So you have a mashpia who feels he's an honor. He might even be able to daven b'avoda, and maybe he even does the daven b'avoda, but that he should tell anyone else to daven b'avoda. It's like a ruchnius. He feels it's out of his. In fact, there was, I don't think he'd mind being his name being mentioned, Modcha Safra here. In this district, he wrote to the Rebbe asking, either he wrote to the Rebbe or he asked in Yechidus, I don't know exactly, about the fact that he, as a Malamed, as a teacher of Mechina type age, he has to teach or give over ideals and concepts that he feels he's not himself shy to. So how can he manage? And the Rebbe said, you have to do your thing. Now, one second, do we finish exactly at 10 or is there any leeway?
Continue.
You can go, okay. The deeper reason is a different thing. The deeper reason of the problem of Avodah Satfilah is the whole business of moving from Otvotsk to 770. Right? In Otvotsk, that was what you had to do in the 1930s, the Friedrich Rebbe came to Otvotsk, having the whole Yud Beis Tammuz thing, then leaving Russia, being in Riga, then coming to Warsaw, he was in Warsaw for a while, then around 1935, I think, he moved to the suburb of Warsaw. It's like Bushy in relation to London. And Otvotsk, I've been there, it's like a wood. It's a wood. It's a village in a wood. Like you're walking among the trees, there's a house here, there's a house there. The street where the yeshiva is takia, it's like a street, but all over there are trees, and it's an idyllic, absolutely idyllic atmosphere. And the Ikka Avoida there was, you heard a mimer from the Friedrich Rebbe, and if you were one of the 10 Bochrim who was let in to hear the mimer on Friday night, you had to be able to remember the whole mimer bal peh as a chayza, and Shabbos day you would say over the mimer to various groups of people, and if you didn't manage to remember the mimer bal peh, you wouldn't be allowed in next week. You couldn't be one of the 10, the minion of Bochrim, who were allowed to hear the Rebbe's mimer. And I said, this was told to me by Rabbi Greenglass, Zolzunzay, who was there. And you daven b'avoda. That was the avoda. You know, afotzah, spreading chassidus, this, that, mitzoyim. Not there. As Rabbi Greenglass said to me, that wasn't what they asked us to do. So that wasn't the tenor. It's interesting because in Riga, there was a certain kind of hafotza dimension. It's interesting. Like, different places, different things happen. Anyway, then you have the transition from Poland, Otvotsk, that atmosphere, coming to America with the Friedlander Rebbe coming and then the Rebbe coming, and immediately starting organizations like Machne Yisrael, which was a mystical outreach organization getting people to say Tehillim to purify the air as an achrona for Mashiach, and all kinds of very, very spiritual activities. And Merkaz L'Inyoni Chinuch, which was an outreach organization reaching out with the aim to reach Jewish farmers. There were, somewhere or other, there were Jewish farmers in America, and Merkaz L'Inyoni Chinuch had the brief that's what they're going to try and reach these Jewish farmers and communicate Yiddish Kaiser. Now, so when you have this sort of transition, and then you have the Rebbe becoming Rebbe, and you have, in a sense, you have the older Hasidim and the younger Hasidim. And there was once here in this town, there was a Chasna, where two Einikruch got married. One was an Einikul of Reb Mendel Fuller-Fass, and the other was an Einikul of Sadia Libera. So for a time during the Sheva Brachos there were forbrangans between Sadia Liberov and Reb Mendel Fuller-Fass. Sadia Liberov said all the time, "Oi, the Bachrim today are nothing. It used to be Avodah Satfila. It was so high. It was such a wonderful thing." And Reb Mendel used a very, he said, "They are Gatkas and Reina Viunza. They are more pure than we are." Because they're completely ibergegeben to the Rebbe, they make a Lag BaOmer parade, they do this, they do that, they do Merkaz Shlichus, they go to Bochum into the middle of nowhere. Reb Mendel had a tremendous, tremendous respect for the Heintiger Bochum, the Rebbe's Bochum. So you see, the deeper reason why there is a kind of suspicion about Avodah Satfila is because people think of Avodah Satfila as a place where a person is lost in their own ruchnias, or satisfied, enjoying their own spiritual ruchnidic experiences, instead of doing the Avodah, which is going on Mivtzayim, and staying up all night making the float for the Lag BaOmer parade, or color warring camp, and being a counselor and talking with this kid about that and another kid about something else, and to be a nice guy, to be a warm person with a varmkeit and able to relate to everyone. And on the other hand, you know, it seems like, you know, what's Avodah Satfila? The guy is spaced out, he's Davin's a long time, so where is he? In fact, Feitel Levin, who is runs the Kollel in Melbourne, comes from London, he wrote a whole book in English, I don't know if you have it here in the library, and it's about the shock that he had going from Brunla with his father, Oliver Shalom, Beryl Levin, who was a Voila Chosid of the early years, a very Hatziger Yid, very warm Yid. How he went, the shock that it was for him going from Brunwa with Reb Nissen, you know, and the whole Reb Yisrael Noyach, Davening, and so on, coming to 770 and the Rebbe, and like a whole completely, and it was like a shock to him as a Bacher. And later on, years later, he wrote it all down as a book. And it's a very remarkable book, and it's like the difference between Giluyim and Atzmus. See, that's basically the issue. Avodah Satfila is Giluyim. The person davens, it's like a very, they feel deeply spiritual. You know, they come out of the davening, they're like a changed person, like Jonathan Sacks described the first time he went to 770, Rabbi Lou organized, he should go to 770. So he put him up by a balabos. I don't know who the balabos was. So the balabos gets up in the morning, Shabbos morning, takes his guest, this English Cambridge philosophy student, takes him with him to 770, and the balabos davens. And he really doesn't. And then they come, they're coming home together. So Jonathan Sacks writes in a book somewhere, it was the first time he'd ever seen anyone changed by the process of davening. Because the character of the Balabos before davening and after davening was completely different. Because after davening he'd gone through a whole spiritual experience and now he's like a different person. And Jonathan was very, very struck by this. You know, so there's... Now, I'm sure that Balabos was also a Voila Chosid in terms of Hafotso and the tank and so on. But you see, there's Geula Protis and Geula Klalis. Geula Protis, right at the beginning of the whole Tenuas HaChasidus with the Baal Shem Tovs and the Sutra Magid, you have the idea of a person reaching a state in this world, Olam HaSeh, as if it was Olam HaBa, as if it was the time of Mashiach, a complete spiritual experience which comes us, the spiritual state of consciousness, which comes about through various means. One of the words used often in Chassidus HaKlolis is dveikus. The person davens in such a mood, or there's a mitzvah in such a mood that it's with dveikus, and they're like in another world. And Geula Protis is that one person is feeling this, and Geula Klalis is the general Geula for the whole Jewish people, the whole of humanity, with the coming of Mashiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Umolah on its name, Hashem. It's interesting that the Maimah Va'ata Tetzaveh, the last Mugo Maimah, speaks about this. It's got a whole shtickel there in the Maimo, which talks about the way that the Yidden Zenen Sutresel, they are shattered by the fact that Mashiach hasn't come, and this is not the it's not the essence of the Yid which is shown in the Tenua of Mesilas Nefesh when bad things are happening, like in the time of Zeres Haman or in the time of the Friedrich Rebbe in Russia, but it is when everything is comfortable, they have everything they need in Gashmias and Ruchnias, nonetheless they're to trace all that Mashiach hasn't come, because the tshuka of a Yid is that there should be a Gilu Elokus everywhere. And then the Rebbe starts discussing. You can have a person that for that person it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was never destroyed. It's as if in his, because the way he davens, it's so exquisite, the way he learns Torah, it's so incredible. So for him, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been destroyed. But, says the Rebbe, if somewhere or other there's a Pina Nidachas, where there's some person who doesn't feel this Gilui, then the Gilui of that Oyved, that wonderful Oyved, that's not complete. In fact, Memtes Shari Bino, and not the 50th, Memtes is Gematria Choyle. So he's ill. Because there isn't the real Gilui of Atzmus, which is a Gilui everywhere. Okay. So, that's the reason for the problem. Now, I would suggest that nonetheless, there are two concepts over here. One is the idea, which the Rebbe spoke about many times, that the Geula Protis leads to Geula Klalis. No, it's not, you know, it's not every single Sikh. But there is this idea that Geula Protis has a certain error. Why? Because it leads to Geula Klalis. You can't be satisfied with the Geula Protis. But the Geula Protis does have a certain positive value, and that it leads to Geula Klalis. A second way that I would suggest that this is important, because as a hachonah for Mashiach, we need the kind of look, the kind of perception of the world and other people and of life and of everything that happens, the kind of way that a person looks in the time of Mashiach. And in order to get that, how are we going to get that? One way towards that is Avodas HaTfilah. Avodas HaTfilah is something which makes a person look at other people, look at the world in a different way, and it's a redeemed way. It's a way of Geula, it's a way of Mashiach, it's got the flavor of Mashiach in it. So I would suggest that we Taki really need Avodas HaTfilah, but it needs to have the Rebbe's Knetch. It needs to have, you know, the Rebbe's Knetch in the house. it needs to have the Rebbe's knage that this is not an avodas tefillah that the person feels very satisfied. Like the Yekka who was davening and he said, fast eine Minute, you know, like he said Shema with such concentration and it was nearly a whole minute, you know. But not that style. But an avodas tefillah, which taki is a something which is meaningful to the person, and it taki changes the person. But at the same time, it's something which lets another person in, like the famous story the Rebbe told many, many times about hearing the cry of the child. That there was the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe, and they were both davening or learning, and they were both vadvekud in a very deep way, and the baby fell out of the cot or started crying. Of the baby of the Mittler Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe came and picked up the baby and soothed it, and the whole time the Mittler Rebbe didn't hear it because he was in such a deep hisboinenus. And the vort is, which the Alter Rebbe told his son, you've always got, however deep the hisboinenus and the dveikus, you've always got to be able to hear the cry of a child. And there's a story of Rabbi Michael de Alta. He was a mashpia in Lubavitch around Tafresh Tamach Vav, 1906. And he was once he was davening very deeply, and it was winter. And while he's davening, he suddenly sees that there's a bocha with torn shoes. And in winter, to have torn shoes in Lubavitch, some of us have been to Lubavitch, it's a problem when the snow is on the ground. And so Reb Michael opens his eyes and he sees Hashtikul Gvir, like a businessman who's there in the Beis HaMedrash. He goes like this. He attracts his attention, points to the shoes of the Bacha, and the Gvir says, yeah. And then he goes back to Davin. You know, like, so the pain of this Bacha had an art. It was there in his heart and he was able to do something about it, even though Mitzad, on another level, he's in a completely different world. Alright. So, how to go about davening in a few simple pathways. One aspect is nigun. Nigun. Reb Mendel Fillerfass, he would daven in a beautiful way with a nigun. For me personally, that was one of the key things that attracted me to Lubavitch, because when the minyan that I davened in, if I was late, I would come to Lubavitch, because in the regular minyan I was in, you know, if you were 10 minutes late, everyone would look at you, etc. And so I would come to Lubavitch where they had a later minyan, and then there's later and later and later, and then finally, you know, 11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, there's me and Reb Mendel davening. Me davening in 20 minutes or whatever, and Reb Mendel davening. And hearing Reb Mendel, Baruch Shama, you know, every word, like they say, if you daven with a minion, it's like catching the post, and one little stamp will cover the whole letter. But if you miss the post and you're davening by yourself, then you have to pay for it like a telegram. You have to pay for every word. So Reb Mendel paid for every word. And that concept of nigun in davening. Now, Reb Mendel told me that there are two approaches to davening with a nigun. One is with a single tenor. I don't actually remember the tenor that Reb Mendel davened with particularly as one tenor, but he said he davened with one tenor. There was another chosid that someone once told me about, the rabbi, I think he was in Montreal, and he would daven every word of the davening with the beginning of Shalosh Tenors. So every word of his davening was with that tenor, like saying it again and again and again. Another way, said Reb Mendel, is where you take a whole nigun and you sing the davening quietly with a whole nigun. Now, the Rebbe told someone that I know that when you daven, you should daven, he told this particular bocher, daven with a nigun, essen estzich. Ashrei yoshrei reisechoi dialalucho sehelohi ayayah. Now, essen estzich is a very beautiful nigun because the words, eating eats by itself, drinking drinks by itself. What should we do that davening doesn't happen by itself? Eating eats by itself. Schlafen schlaft sich. Sleeping happens by itself. What should we do that we don't learn automatically? In other words, spiritual things are like a step beyond. The gashmias we're stuck in, but the spiritual things we have to make some kind of step. So the whole, and the melody is like yearning for something beyond. This yearning for something beyond. So that is like a very suitable nigun to daven with, in a way to make one's davening live. Now, there was a Rabbi Yisrael Noach, who was in Brumwa. He used to daven, he lived in the yeshiva, I think his wife had passed away some years before, and he lived in the yeshiva, and he would daven there. He would first of all be by the minyan, and then later he would daven. And Itchy Ruskin told me that Bocherim, he liked his room opened into the garden. There was like two French doors like this. And the Bocherim would stand in the garden, like listening to Rabbi Yisrael Noach davening. And one day, his grandson, whom I met once, he's like a person my sort of age, his grandson smuggled into his Zayda's room a tape recorder, which in those days was like a big tape recorder with big tapes in it. And he hid it under the bed and he plugged it in. And then he came in when his Zayda was about to start davening. He said, I've got to sew up my trousers. So he sits on the bed, under the bed is hidden the tape recorder. And he clicks on the tape recorder and he spends like an hour or two sewing up his trousers. And meanwhile, his Zayda is davening. So he's got the whole thing on tape. So you can buy, now, you can buy a tape of Yisrael Noach davening. And it's an amazing, he davens to the nigun, the pilpul. And so the whole way through, there's the pilpul, then a few words of davening, then the pilpul. So nigun is one aspect. Now, I once gave a talk here in this yeshiva about this, and someone told me that either they had heard themselves or they had heard from someone that when the Rebbe came to the Birchus Kriya Shema, he would say them to the nigun of Shamil. So that's something that people heard, the Rebbe, like softly saying the words of Birchus Kriya Shema to the nigun of Shamil. I think like to the whole, to a lot, I don't know how much of the nigun or the whole nigun, but so that's one aspect, the idea of davening with a nigun. Now, very often, in terms of giving hadrocha about davening, the Rebbe would refer people to Perek Mem Aleph of Tanya. Perek Mem Aleph of Tanya says, even though the person has Avos Hashem, that's not enough, you also have Yiras Hashem. You also have to have Yiras Hashem. Vaydai lo'ira ha'avo levado. He says, and there has to be also Yira, and then it says, Vehine Hashem, Nitzav Olov, Umeloichol Oretz, etc. The Torah Pasuk, it's there in Perek Mem Aleph, the first page. Now, what I'm talking about here is about the step before that. Yes, Avada, there has to be Yira, there has to be Anskite, there has to be Kabbalah Sol. But what it's talking about there is that you first have Ava, and then you put the Kabbalah Sol and the Yira on top of the Ava. So how do you get a quality of Avos Hashem while you're davening? Well, there are a number of different techniques. Some of them are like written about in Sfarim, and some of them are not written about in Sfarim. One of them is Avos Yisrael. Avos Yisrael, we start off the davening, Hareini Mekabel Olayim, Mitzvos Hashem. mitzvah saseh, v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. You're davening in a shul. You look around in the Beis Medrash. You look around. You feel you are connected to everyone in this room. You go to a kind of hisboinenus, like Perik Beis Atani. The way that all the neshamas are connected together, and you feel connected together with everyone, and you're connected with every yid, and every yid in the whole world, and everyone who's ever lived. And the Rebbe's input into this is pnimius chosid, Rebbe. The pnimius of a chosid is the Rebbe. Hutake has such a kesher with every single yid in the whole world who's ever lived, and you begin to feel on that way this sense of a connection with everyone, and then there's a varamkeit open heart. You've got to tell me what the time limitation is.
I'm about to
So there is the so Avas Yisrael is one approach, a varim kind of Avas Yisrael, and when you work yourself up into a spinalness of Avas Yisrael, you see that in the davening as well. You see that, because from Avas Yisrael comes to Avas Hashem, they link together. Le'ahov Masha Ahov Oyeh. To love that which the loved one loves. In other words, Hashem loves Yidden, so you love Yidden, and so therefore it's as if you're loving Hashem, and you are loving Hashem. Another dimension. Sha'a Yichud Be'emunah, Perik Aleph. Sha'a Yichud Be'emunah, the beginning, is about the fact that all existence is kept in its, is created, and is kept in existence by a stream of oisius which come from Ein Sof ultimately, and it comes down through Asorah Ma'amoros Shenivra Olam, and so it comes down that the word for that thing in Loshon HaKodesh, Eben, Shulchan, whatever it is, that's the chayis of that object. You just take that simple perek, it's only a page and a half long, two sides long. You start thinking about that in terms of the place where you are, that everything is a stream of oisios of Elokus. And then you pick up a siddur. The siddur is also oisius of Elokus. It's the same oisius. And in fact, you know, it's not written anywhere, but the fact that at the beginning of the siddur we have this picture, which is used for teaching children Aleph Beis. Now, I once heard on a kof av for Brennan, the Rebbe explaining that he was the one who designed this diagram. And the Rebbe explained that there were various questions exactly how to put the vowels and different things, and like this is, you know, it's not stamazai. It's not just that this was found on a piece of paper and they printed it in the book. It's, oh, let's have the Aleph Beis. The Rebbe himself actually made it. And I think of this as an adjunct, as a way, you know, a person... Just this concept of oisius, of the stream of oisius, which are making everything exist, and then you enter into that as a way of love. Now, more complicated, of course, you can go through the first 6.5 prokim of Sha'a Yichud Be'emunah, and it's a very good thing to have an idea that you go through them before davening as, you know, what they are. Perik Aleph says this, Perik Beis says that. And you come through, and in the middle of Perik Zayin, that's why I say 6.5, because in the middle of Perik Zayin, or the you have the concept of Yichud Eloh and Yichud Tato. Sha'a Yichud Be'emunah begins off with two lines at the top. It says, Lahovin Mashakosa B'Zoya, to understand what it says in the Zoya, that Shema Yisrael, etc., is Yichud Eloh. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elohim Voed is Yichud Tato. So it explains there a way of thinking about Elokus, the stream of Oisius in the world, and the way in which the Oisius, which is there at a certain level, which is really Malchus, which is giving life to everything in existence, Malchus Peh, Kodesh Shabal Peh, the idea of Dibur, Olam HaDibur, the Shechina, and to think about that as being connected lemaila with Atzmus, or with a higher Madrega, and the way in which Malchus, that's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Malchus, and Yud Kei Vav Kei is the higher level, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud merges with Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he gives in Sha'a Yichud Be'emunah there, Perek Zayin in the middle, or the second page, he gives two ways of the shiluv of the oisius, the way the oisius interleave, that you can either have the osius interleaving yud from yud ke vav ke, aleph from aleph dal nun yud, then hey, and then nun. So you have yud first, and so yud ke vav ke interleaves with aleph dal nun yud. Now if the yud is first, then it means the higher level is more prominent, and you don't see any world. Ein oid milvadoi. That Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's nothing else. There's only Hashem. That it doesn't mean Hashem Echad. It doesn't mean there's one God, rather than three gods or ten gods. It means that there is nothing apart from God. That's Ein oid milvadoi. But then there's Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed, where you move the Shiluv. So that Aleph comes first. Aleph of Adni comes first. Aleph and then Yud and then Nun and so on. Okay? So you've got Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is dominant. So you see a world. And you can see here is the world. And in this world, Elokus is radiating. So you go, as it were, the Hachana of davening is going up and up to Shema, where is Ein Oid Milvadoi, and then, as it were, coming into a realm where there is a world. And the world exists, and in that world, and you're going to learn Torah, and you're going to teach Torah, and you're going to put on tefillin and have mezuzahs and everything. And then you come to the Amida, and the Amida you're talking about in Yonim of Elokus, Reifa Choylim, and so on. The Elokus in relation to the world, and you're on that level as if the world is an expression of Elokus. And maybe for that reason, on Yom Kippur, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed loud, because at that moment there is a tremendous gilui of the Elokus which is in the world. All right, so that is like a real organized Avodas Tefillah. It could be done in a shorter way, like in terms of time, or it could be in a longer way. There's a much shorter style of davening, which is described over here in flames, which is Kiato Neirin Havaya by the Mittler Rebbe. And I was very attracted to this. It's in Perik Dalad of the Maimer Kiato Neirin. I've written it out in English, just briefly, four Nekudas. First of all, it goes on, the Pasuk in Ashrei, at the beginning of Ashrei, Adamimcha Elakaya Melech, Va'aborcha Shimcha Le'olam Voed. Right? So it's explaining that possible. First of all, point one, think about Elokai. What does Elokai mean? The divine Chayus. The Chayus Eloki of Mamalik Olalmin, the Chayus which is in all existence, the radiance, the divine radiance, the radiance Eloki which is in everything. Yeah, the Oisius which are there. Two, unify yourself with it and raise it higher and higher. Aramimcha. We are here, the Yid, the position of the Jew in creation is to lift up the whole of existence and connect it to Hashem. So, Aramimcha Elokai, I will lift up this Elokus which surrounds me towards HaMelech. HaMelech is Atzmus. And I'm going to do this through the process of davening in Psukah Dezimra. And in the words, you can feel the shocklings and the way in which the words are really talking about the highest in the world. You look at the Psukah Dezimra. All about, and the fact that you're davening, you're connecting that to the Eibushter. Now, number three, you reach the Shema. Now is the point of unity when Elokai joins with HaMelech. In other words, Mamale joins with Soiver. So you've got the level of Elokus which is in the world, joining with the level of Elokus beyond the world, and you are saying the Shema, you're making that sense of unity. And then, four, comes the flow from above downwards. As it says, "Va'avorcha Shimcha La'olam Voed," "Shemecha La'olam Voed." This is through Baruch Shem. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus La'olam Voed. The rest of the Shema, the Amida, the rest of the davening, learning Torah after davening into the world. That's this flow coming downwards. So during davening, you are conscious of the Elokus which is around you. You connect the Elokus Lamaila. The point of contact is in the Shema, and then there is a flow which is coming down into the world, and you're part of that as well. So, so that's how do you do this in actual practical terms? There's a famous concept, davening mitaknei chin siddur. that you can't manage to daven every single word with the kind of amkus that is really demanded. But you take, one day you take Ashrei, another day you take Baruch Sha'ama, and you take different bits of the davening, and each day you put a certain effort into this and a certain effort into that. I don't know how much it has to be with a Seder, but the idea that one is, that you try to fit into the different demands that there are. Dine Raskin suggests, start off davening 10 minutes early. You start off davening 10 minutes early, there's a gelassenheit, you know, there's a slowness, which you're able to focus on a few words. Rabbi Yanko Gulkov, he said to me, the whole vort of davening, just to say a few words with truth. That's what davening is. The whole thing is that a few words should be the zot. And this is the hachana for Mashiach. That's the sense of, it says in the Kutatir, it talks about the idea that if a person davens, and then they remember the davening later on in the day, it's like meeting an old friend. What happens when you meet an old friend? You forget all your worries. Now there's two pieces of hadracha here. One is we should have friends in such a way that when you meet an old friend, you forget all your worries. At that moment, all your worries go away, and you feel that chibur with that. I remember once sitting at a Fabrangan, Mendel was there, various other people, another old chassid. One of them used the word Yedid Nefesh. He was my bosom friend. And Mendel said, Yedid Nefesh. The vase was still mine. Yedid Nefesh. My real, real friend. What a valuable thing. You Bokharim, you know Metz Hashem, you're going to be Zaydas one day. And you will meet somewhere or other, wherever, at the Beis Hamikdash. And you'll remember, oh yeah, I was in yeshiva with you. And that fact of being together, that's a tremendous chibur. Now, the same kind, and that is the connection which makes the person forget all their worries, it says in Chassidus. Now, in the same way with davening. When a person puts a few minutes into davening, it doesn't necessarily have to be out of this world. I mean, it can be. You can daven for 2-3 hours. You know, I said to Rabbi Cohen, I met Rabbi Cohen from Manchester Yeshiva. I said, are there bachrim who daven ba'avod in your yeshiva? He said, yes, Baruch Hashem, we have quite a few. You know, so the Rosh Yeshiva and the Mashmiyim, you know, they want you to daven. You know, well, they'll tell you that, but they're angry, you know, then they can berimzik when they meet other people. So you're fulfilling a function there. So, but the maisa is that the effect of forgetting all worries, of only having simcha, because of the sense of closeness to Elokus, with the inspiration of the Rebbe opening up Elokus on every dimension, for ultimately for every year, and even for every human being, that's the simcha of the Geula Mashiach. Now, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.